Do you think we live in a country with discernment anymore? Talking about prudence. You think people have any kind of discernment anymore? You think most people care about the consequences of their actions anymore? Most people just don't care. People feel as long as they want something, they're not concerned how it affects others. They're not concerned about how that affects their spouse. Who cares? I mean, these men today, give a flip what she thinks. I don't care what she does. God said, I'm going to remove the prudent. He said, people that's careful, people that care about the consequences of their actions, that kind of stuff's going to be a thing of the past. And boy, I'm telling you, we can see it. And it's the judgment of God. People don't care as long as it's something they like, and so long as it's something they want. They don't care what their children feel out of it. They don't care how it affects their spouse. They don't care how it affects their parents. They don't care how it affects their church. They don't care how it affects their testimony. They don't care how it affects their friends, as long as it's what I want. I want. And people feel like, I'm so deserving. I deserve this. Doesn't matter what my spouse, doesn't matter how my children are hurt, doesn't matter how my community is affected, because it's something that I feel like I deserve. It's amazing. how do you not love it? You know, most people don't care what God thinks about it as long as it's what they want. Huh? How about checking to see what God wants about it? See what he thinks. See what he says. See what he's concerned about. You know why? Because fat folks lack, people lack discernment. That was hard to say. I think it was that salad dressing I ate that's got me all messed up. Got them seeds in, them poppy seeds, got me all jacked up for service. Listen, folks, you better learn how to judge the consequences of your actions. That's what we're talking about. Learn how to judge the consequences. Listen, what is it that you're doing? What is what I'm doing going to cost me down the road? What is what I'm doing? How's this going to affect other people that love me? Other people in my life? How's it going to affect the church? How is this going to affect God Almighty? How is this going to affect my future? You better learn how to judge those consequences of your actions. That's good discernment. That's good prudence. That's being able to discern. That's being able to judge. And see, it's even discerning the outcome of your actions. Well, you know, Brother Pat used to always tell me, attitude determines outcome. The way you look at things determines the way things turn out a lot of times. And boy, that's so true a lot of times in our life. There's a God of righteousness in heaven that's going to deal with people that couldn't care less about the consequences of their actions. God's going to deal with that. And I'll promise you, by the time God's done with dealing with what we've done, we're going to care. We'll care about it. Then he said, I wanted you to get that on that prudent, because he said he's going to remove. And that's, you know, when you get to the point when you go, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I don't care how it affects my life. I don't care. Let me tell you something. You're under the judgment of God. That's not a blessing. Michael, are you causing Eric trouble?
I'm trying to calm him down.
Okay. Then he said he's going to remove the ancient. Going to remove the ancient. Used to, you look around the church, and there'd be a whole church full of gray-headed people, old white-headed people sitting around in the church. Huh? Where's that crowd at today? They some churches anymore, they're so dead, all they do have is those old charter members, and when they die, that church is going to be done. I mean, you think about up there where Irvin does go. All they do have is a few more old people. There's not any young people left behind. When the old people's dead and gone, there's nothing left. But there was a time when every church had a good balance of, I mean, man, the church I grew up in, old Dad Smith was in there. Huh? Old Doc and Batred was in there. I mean, I looked around back then, everybody was old, you know? I mean, everybody was old. I keep telling my barbers, Benny and Larry, of course, they've retired and sold the barbershop, but I keep telling them, when we lived up there in them apartments in Clemens, and I used to go down that hill, we'd go down and get my haircut. When I was a little boy, 4 and 5 years old, I used to tell them, y'all were old then. Benny, y'all was old to me when I was 4 years old. What do you think y'all are now? You know, so take that and comb your hair over so pretty with it. And, y'all know my barber, he combs his hair over so pretty. It's perfect. He says, can I give y'all, can I pet peeve just for a minute? Come on. I wish somebody would get on this with me. Steve, there ain't much, I believe you can, there ain't much sicker in this world to me than a gray-headed man getting an earring. There ain't nothing much sicker in this world than to see an old white-headed man, 60-some, 7 years old, gonna go get him a little queer, an earring. And he's gonna put that thing in, and he's gonna look at it in the mirror. I'm talking about a 60 and 70-year-old man gonna sit, gonna unbutton the shirt and cut the sleeves off. And he's something. 60 and 70, white-headed, y'all know what I'm talking about. Can I tell you something even goofier than that? Can I tell you the goofiest human being on planet Earth? It's a white-headed man. Where's Eric at? Eric, can you hear me? All right, because we can hear y'all. There ain't nothing much sicker to me. The goofiest thing on planet Earth is when a white-headed man tries to jam a lamb with a bunch of 16-year-olds. I never heard jam the lamb until Eric talked last week. And last week, Sunday school, he was talking about jamming the lamb, and I went, and Zach said, did you make it up? He said, no, I wished I did, but I'm going to give it to him. Because, you know, I see him charismatic, just jamming the lamb. Hey, listen, you see them old people trying to jam the lamb with these young people? That's the goofiest sucker on planet Earth, man. That's a pep. Are you kidding me, mister? Would you do me a favor, old timer? Would y'all please tell some of these old white-headed men something? Go take your geritol and change your depends. Go on home, it's 5 o'clock, it's past your bedtime. Quit trying to jam the lamb with a 16-year-old little young charismatic. Are you kidding me? Ain't nothing any goofier on planet Earth than an old man. God said, listen, I'm going to get rid of some of this stuff. Man, these people, hey, Raven, you've dropped a dollar in a Baptist church, and that's dangerous, honey. Look over there. That thing get going so fast around here, make your head swim. Right there's your dollar. Man, I started shaking. I'm going to take up an offering. I seen that money laying out there. 60, going on 16. Are you kidding me? Man, go on somewhere. You need to soak your teeth tonight and get into bed. Don't go over and act like some little young kid over at the little church and hop around. It's amazing they go unbutton their shirt and let the little few gray hairs poke. It's amazing. Just amazing. It makes me sick. See stuff. I can remember back when I was a child, you saw an old man, saved or lost, old man. When you saw him saved or lost, he had some character. Old man carried himself well, had some decency about him. He wasn't trying to be some little young hip punk like he was, 16 again. What trying to do? And all 16-year-olds ain't punks, that's not what I'm saying. But when I see a 60-year-old man trying to be 16, he's a punk. That's what a punk is to me. To me, that's all. I ain't trying to be mean. Mother, there used to be a time when you could take a lost man and shake his hand, and that was his bond. Sure enough, that was his bond. I said a lost man. You get an old man back in the day, Miss Stephanie, if he told you something, you could take it to the bank. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, that stuff is almost a thing of the past. And God said, when I start judging you, you're going to see this stuff come to pass. Those old men are not going to be like that anymore. Where's those men at? Most of these men today, when you do see an old white-headed man, 60, 70 years old, most of them live foolish lives. My daddy would be 70 years old. My daddy would be. If my daddy was alive, my biological dad, if he was a, my real dad, my blood dad, if he was alive, he lived a pretty foolish life. And there's a lot of people in the same way. You see them at that age, man, all they've done is just wasting their life on righteous living anymore. Used to, them old boys worked hard. They honored their families. They honored their vows to their wife. Nowadays, you got people that's having to go redo. Listen, I meant my wedding vows the first time I ever told them to you. I ain't never wavered. I ain't never changed my mind. I ain't never second-guessed them. I ain't never doubted them. When I told her that, way back in, I still believe them till death do us part, for better or for worse. Amen. Right. I had to walk up on the platform and put on a big old show. I meant that junk 30 years ago. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. That kind of scared me and my wife wanted to start redoing. What? You been having problems with them in the last couple of years? What's going on? I can remember Steve going up into the mountains. Them good, hold on please. Them good old fashioned mountain churches up in them North Carolina mountains. Just God. I carried my family up there and we'd go preach. We'd get invited to go up there and preach. This was a few years ago. Hey, Eric, it ain't just out there in the juke joint. It's not only in the Jambalam churches. It's inside these old-fashioned Mountain Baptist churches, too. Ha! Go up there, Miss Stephanie. You know good and well what I'm talking about. The people that was running the show. Stand up there, them old men had them little pretty hairdos and had their shirts unbuttoned, had them gold chains, showing off a cup. And they introducing me, going to let me preach. John David, I couldn't wait to get in that pulpit. Not to use it as a whooping post. But I promise you one thing, buddy. Stuff going on inside our Baptist churches, they wouldn't know God. I'm telling you, them churches are twice dead up there in them mountains. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. They don't want God to show up. All they want is their little Christmas tree farm, and they want their families nestled in. They want their little running brook and their little mountain house, and just leave us alone with our tradition and our religion. Michael, I thought about you and some of the stuff that you said this week. And I know everything about your neighbor may not be hunky-dory, and we may not can give his testimony in church and tell about all of his doings, but I'll be honest with you, there ain't a handful of those men left in America. From what I've gathered from Michael, he's an awful lot like my grandpa, and they just ain't a whole lot of men left like that in America. I'm not saying they're righteous men. I'm not saying they're godly men, but I am saying they're men of character. I am saying they're men of integrity. I am saying you can take their word to the bank. I am saying they'll look you in the eyes and they'll tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. Hey, they'll even hurt your feelings for free, because the truth hurts sometimes. Huh? How many men you know like that old man? Ain't too many of them, are they? God said, I'm going to remove them from you. That's not a blessing, ladies and gentlemen. My grandpa shot about every kid that he had. I'm not kidding. He shot about every kid he had. If he didn't, he beat them with everything he could get his hands on. If you were sitting there and you needed a beating, and there was a 5-gallon steel bucket, you got a beating with a 5-gallon steel bucket. Whatever you get his hands on. By the helm. I tell you one thing. A man work like a dog and give you every dime you deserve for working with him. That's right. He'll treat you right. He'll treat you fair. He'll tell you the truth. He'll do honest business for you. He'll work all day. He'll feed and provide for his family. He'll take care of putting a roof over their head. It may leak when the rain comes, but it was a roof. Not all them houses leaked when the rain came. Mama, where's the dual tuberoses of America today? You know, my grandpa would probably get locked up under a prison. If that man could come out and really be himself, they'd want to put him under a jail. He better be glad he's over there in Shelby and all them cops know him and just kind of go, well, that's him. You get out from underneath that right there, and I'm telling you, these suckers don't know you. They'll want to put you under a prison somewhere for being like that today. What is that? I'm just telling you, character and integrity is a thing of our past. People can't even handle those guys being honest. Telling the truth, and don't put up with a bunch of foolishness, man. Get around them old timers, man, acting stupid. They'll straighten you out, I promise you. Whew, big old hands like leather. Amen. You know, a preacher friend of ours went to visit Sammy Allen one day. And how many,
y'all know Silas, that old crazy guy that hurt Brother Sammy's? Brother Sammy's took care of him for years. Silas is a big dude. I mean, just much, climbs trees, cuts them. I mean, just a tough old cat. And this old preacher buddy of ours went to visit Sammy as a missionary, and he was supposed to show up down there, and he knocked on the door, and he said, Jimmy Lou, come to the door. Sammy's wife said that, said Jimmy Lou come to the door and told him, yeah, old Brother Sammy's in the living room. Come on in. And said, by the time I walked in the foyer, he said, I heard that flesh pop real loud. He said, just a loud pop. He said, to come around the corner, he said, there was Silas falling to the ground. He said, Sammy done hit him in the jaw and knocked him on the ground in his living room. Why? Because Silas was getting paid. Sammy put him up at the camp. He had that house right there at the entrance. He was the one that trashed it when everybody come in and see him over there with their clothes off and trash everywhere, bring a reproach, just nasty. Brother Sammy put him right there at the entrance of the camp to live. And Silas was supposed to mow and take care of all the properties, and Sammy would give him money. Well, he done paid him to mow, and he didn't mow. And he gave him another week and told him, he said, Silas, I need you to get that campground mowed. And Silas said, yeah, I'll do it. Well, Sammy come back from out of town, it still wasn't mowed. He called Silas over to his house. Wasn't no bones about it. He just stood him up in his living room, looked him in the eyes, and hit him in the jaw and knocked the old boy down in his living room floor. And that missionary said, when I seen him, Silas was falling, and Sammy was climbing on top of him, beating him in the living room floor. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about them old timers had some integrity and character. You're supposed to mow the yard, and you didn't. You told me you took money, you took God's money, you took God's people's money, and you're supposed to mow the yard, you're supposed to do a job. You gave me your word, you said you was going to do it. Now I'm going to hold you accountable. There's some prudence left in these old timers. God said, I'm taking that stuff. Now they can do it. Nobody says a word. Well, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Yeah, you ought to say something once in a while. That's right, you're to say something. There will be some people held to the, keep their feet held to the fire. Hold them accountable. Make them give an answer for their actions, huh? Make them look in the eyes and tell you the truth. And hold them accountable for lying. God said, I'm removing some of these people. Hey, let me ask you a question. That's a man of God I'm talking about. I'm talking about one of God's choice men today. 80 years old, I mean, just... It is what it is. He's going through everything an 80-year-old man goes through. Well, Sammy said to me one day, personally, face to face, he said, Dave, he said, everybody always asks me. He was over at Shelby. He said, everybody always asks me, why you mess around with old Silas? Brother Allen, why you waste your time with Silas? He ain't never been nothing. Ain't never going to be. Old Brother Samuel, with a broken voice, said, Dave. And he started naming them. Silas got about 8 children over there. He started naming them kids off. And I don't know the names, but he said, old Joel got saved about 6 months ago. He said, Mary got saved about 2 months ago. He said, John got saved. He said, listen, I wouldn't send a dog to Bob Jones University, but he got him a scholarship to get one of Silas's boys got a scholarship to go to Bob Jones University. Not for a Christian education, he went for a secular education. He wants to be a public school teacher, and he went over there to get him a degree and better. Brother Sammy said, he's got him a scholarship. Who ever thought one of Silas's kids would get a scholarship? Brother Sammy said, I saw it all along. I saw it all along. That's why I messed with Silas. That's why I let him make that mess up at the camp. It wasn't about him. It was about reaching him children. I'm trying to say to y'all, that stuff is almost a thing of the past. When is somebody else going to step up and go, you know what? They've made a mess out of everything. It's not convenient. This is not easy. This is not the way I would have it. But boy, God sure is pleased with this kind of stuff. If I can help them people and help those people and maybe reach out to help those people, everything in my life may seem disarray. Everybody might quit. Why are you messing with them? Why are you doing what you do? Why are you suffering? Why are you putting yourself out? Why are you doing this to your own family? So that I might win others for the glory of God. I said a while ago, my life wasn't about getting out of hell. It was about bringing glory to God, wasn't it? I said, boy, thank God. I'm glad somebody didn't give up on them children of Silas's. Huh? Oh, yes. Somebody cared. Thank God. God said, I'm about to remove those kind of people. Isn't that amazing?
Boy. Talking about the ancient. I'm talking about those that's got some godliness about them, some grit, some grace, and knows how to reach out to the outcast. Those men are on the endangered species list. Where's that couple of anxious that's been married for 60 years? Huh? Where's that couple that's been married for 60 years anymore? Hardly anybody's married 60 years anymore. I'm talking about them ancients. God said, we're about to do away with that. And that's not a good thing. And I can show you why it's not a good thing. I'll never forget. Me and my wife living down there in Florida. And I want to say something that's not biblical, okay? But it makes a lot of sense. And I've known it myself. And then on top of me knowing it and hearing it before, John Ashmore told me a couple years ago, and we just kind of went back over this thing again. You can take a marriage where people's married about 3.5 years, and about every 3.5 years in your married life, it just seems like you go through something that you hadn't been through. And I mean, it can be dark, and it can be hard, and it can be trying, and it can be tough. But I mean, 3.5 years, check out most marriages. If they make it 7 years, they'll be lucky. Do you remember what Brother Leroy used to say? If a church can make it how long? 7 years. If a church can make it 7 years, that church can make it. Because 3.5, man, you go through a little something, and then by the time 7 comes along, everything's wore off. You start to know everything. Man, you can smell her in the bathroom now. I mean, it's all honeymoon's over with. And then you keep adding 3.5, 3.5, 3.5. For some reason, the devil uses a lot of those numbers and those time periods. If you look at it, some of it's in the Bible, but I can't support a whole lot of this with scriptures. I'm just telling you, I've seen it in way too many people's lives, even my own. I'm saying that because, Miss Holland, we were sitting down there in Florida, and we didn't have 2 nickels to rub together, and God had us to the place of poverty, and thank God for it. No complaints. Back then, I'd have done anything to get out of it, Miss Stephanie. But God didn't let us get out. I worked Miss Hannah like a dog and just stayed poor. I mean, just tough. And I can remember some of the darkest days in my marriage I ever had. We had some bad days. Bad days. Tough times, girl. I mean, we got at each other's jugular. It wasn't safe having them pistols in the house. I'll tell you that. Not for me, anyway. Can I be honest with y'all? Our whole church, pretty much, our whole church of about 200 people, is that a fair number in Lawdie? 200 people forsook us. That's how bad our marriage got. I'm talking about everybody in the church gave up on us. They washed their hands. They didn't want to hear me preach. They didn't want to see me walk in the back doors. I'm talking about the church. There's an old man down there. Everybody said he's mean. He's the meanest man in the county. Old Dick Starling, he's hard, boy. That old man's hard. He's hard. We were sitting down there one night. A young married couple having a hard time about 7 years in. A knock was on my door. Over to the door. There stood that old hard, mean man and his wife, an ancient, old timers. Her gray-headed, him gray and bald. I said, oh, Brother Dick, good to see you. I said, Brother Starling, I didn't call him by his first. I said, Brother Starling, it's so good to see y'all. Come on in the house. And boy, he came in, Michael, he was so meek. He was so humble. He was so tender. And he said, I just wanted to come by and talk to y'all. And that old ancient man sat in our living room and gave us some good godly wisdom.
And him and his wife just put us in their arms. And man, they gave us wisdom and counsel. And they began to tell us about things in their life and how to face some of these storms. And man, they had a word of prayer. And old Brother Dick and his wife got up and left and never made a big scene, made no advertisements, didn't nobody know they come down at my house. I'm riding down the road just a few months ago, I'm going down I-40 heading into Hickory. And there was a plane crash right up here somewhere in the mountains of North Carolina. And if y'all remember, it was a Starling boy, that's Dick Starling's grandson and his boy. They were on that airplane, and he was the pilot. He crashed, him and his girlfriend and his son was on that airplane, and they died. I got on the phone and picked the phone up because I was thinking about old Miss Betty Starling, Dick's dead and gone. And I was thinking about old Betty Starling. I picked the phone up and I called Ben Harrell right down the road. I said, Brother Ben, just talk to him about this grandson, Miss Betty's dying. I said, Brother Ben, would you do me a favor? I said, if you see Miss Betty, I said, I want you to tell Miss Betty. I never forgot her and Brother Dick coming over to my house when me and my wife was having that trouble and loved us. Never forgot. He said, Dave, better than that. He said, I'm sitting here looking at Betty Starling right now in her living room. He said, won't you tell her? Boy, I was so glad. You hear me? I was so glad. I ain't that kind of a person much, but I got that phone and she got on there. She said, hello, and that old broke, crackling voice. I said, Miss Starling. I said, do you remember that day come to my house and we relived, rehearsed that thing? She said, yes, I do. I said, Miss Starling, I want you to know that meant the world to me and my wife. We're riding down the road and we're rejoicing together. Thanking God that there's some old white-headed people that cared enough about a young couple to come by and put their arm around us and love us when everybody forsook us and everybody despised us, when everybody hated us, when everybody rejected us. Thank God for the ancients that came by and put their arms around us. Boy, I'm just telling you, every once in a while, God will let you live long enough to put your arm back around some of them, huh? And let them know. I'm telling you, these ancients are important, but God said, I'm going to take them. Who's going to reach your children? Who's going to reach your children? I remember crawling off Michael back there in my back room, and man, I cared about kids, and I always loved kids, and bunch of sorry butt parents. I don't like parents. I love children. I don't like grown-ups. I like children. I'm a grown-up. We're crazy. Man, when you're that age, everything's just good. Hallelujah. Then you grow up and dramatize and screw up everything. Steve, I remember just having that burden for them kids and trying to help children all through Middleburg and all down through them parts of Florida. My heart was in it, and I loved them. I cared about them, and I'd weep. And I'm talking about picking up little kids, Michael constantly. It was being molested every week of their life. And to see that church bus roll up, my God, man, you talking about a joy. It's springing the steps just to escape that hell out of that home for a couple of hours on Sunday. And see that church bus roll up, man, run down there to the church bus and get on. And be able to see the little kids just gather around and enjoy the things of God and get them a decent meal and maybe some candy and whatever it was. Mamas and daddies infested with AIDS. Kids getting on the bus consumed. I had to keep my head shaved because kids consumed with lice. I said, I'll take the lice. I can cut my hair off. I don't care. I love them kids. We didn't sacrifice the lice in our own children's head to kick them other kids out. I said, my kids can get lice. I don't care. We're going to reach some of these youngins. Steve, so help me God. I'd sit back there in that back room in my prayer closet and I'd beg God and say, God, I'll do everything for these kids in my power. Everything that I can do, God, I'll do. If you'll show me what to do, I'll do it. Lord, would you do this for me? Would you send somebody to my children when I can't reach them? Would you send somebody to my children when I'm not within their reach, when they're out there and they're not doing right? Would God, would you, boy, what you going to do about them ancients? I'm so glad Dick Starling showed up over our mom in my living room. I don't know what I'd have done. I don't know where I'd be today. But what that old man and woman had to say to me and my wife helped me for a lifetime. Sure, they called him mean. They called him hard. You know what he was? He was an old ancient.
with some prudence. He was an honorable man. Huh? He was a man of war. He was a man of character, a man of integrity. Sure he was. He just didn't put up with none of them's foolishness. There's a whole community of foolishness, and old Brother Dick just didn't put up with it, and they thought he was mean because of that. He was lovely. He was lovely. He was a Christian. Well, that kind of stuff's just missing in our day. It's missing. Those kind of people are missing. And that's not the blessings of God, that's the judgment of God. I'll never get through. God said, I'm going to remove the captain of 50. Men of leadership is gone. Who's going to take charge? Where's the leaders at? I'm going to tell you why people can't lead. The old saying says, in order to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. Ain't nobody willing to follow. Nobody willing to follow God's word, God's command. Then he said he's going to remove honorable men. Fellas, I know this. There's a war in our members. And I know this. Your flesh is just as wicked as mine, and mine's just as wicked as yours. Our flesh likes the wickedest, nastiest, filthiest, stupidest stuff that your brain could possibly imagine. It's our flesh. There's a war in our members. Even Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, evil's always present. There's something going on. It's not me, but it's sin. It's dwelling in me. Evil's always present, but we have a God that's able to make honorable men out of you and I. Are you listening? God can make an honorable man out of everybody sitting in this congregation. Listen to me. And I get way off track, but I just try to follow God as we go along through this verse. Miss Edney, everybody in this world's not going to be an honorable man. Eric, Michael, every man in this neighborhood, in this community, in this county, is not going to be an honorable man. It's going to be few and far between. I mean, hard to find. But everybody in this congregation can be an honorable man. Every man, every young man, every boy in this congregation can be an honorable man. That's not going to happen throughout Davie County. But it can happen inside these walls. Sure it can. That's what God wants to do out of us. He wants to make. He said, I'm going to remove them. While God's removing them out there, he can be building them up in here. It's amazing. Where's the honorable men today? Men of honor. We don't have to give in to this flesh. You know why people do? Because they want to. We want to. We don't have to do this stuff. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to cave. You don't have to do that. You don't have to fall. Say why? Because God can make an honorable man out of you. He'll keep you faithful. Man. My prayer is that the men of this congregation be men of honor. The men of this congregation be men of integrity. Be men of character. Be men of morals. Be mighty men. Grow up and be ancient men. Men with wisdom. Men with prudence. Men with discernment. Men with understanding. I mean, that can happen here. I look back there and see my little niece and nephew. I think one day, by the grace of God, hopefully, they'll find the right person, wait on the Lord. God will let them get married and have a family of their own, and hell's going to come their way. Trouble's coming. Trouble's going to show up. Mark it down. Job said it. I'm telling you, everybody in here can testify of it. Well, I pray God raise up some young men in this congregation like a Michael and an Eric that can sit over there in John David's living room one day and put his arm around him and say, son, let me tell you something. Huh? Some ancient men. Right. I'm not picking on nobody. There's things in your church I have a hard time saying, Miss Hannah. I have a hard time saying because I don't want you to think that I'm picking on nobody in here. My God, y'all come over here on your own free will. I'm going to pick on you. Tell you the truth, but I'm not picking. I'm so serious about these men, of these ancient men. I'm so into giving. Do you know when I was in public school, Michael, our teachers taught us respect? I mean, besides mom and daddy, our teachers in the public school taught us, you better say yes, sir. You better say yes, yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Yes, please. No, please. May I? You better. When we went through that lunch line down there in the cafeteria with them lonely cafeteria workers, but you better not let your teacher hear you go, huh? Mm-mm. No. Yeah. You better not. I'm talking about in the public school. Miss Davis was not what my fourth grade teacher was not going to talk. It was a reproach to her. It was a shame to her. It was a disgrace to her to have one of her students look at that lunch lady and go, no. Huh? Yeah. It was, yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. No, ma'am. Can I help you, baby? Yes, ma'am. May I have some of them beans? Thank you, ma'am. Would you like a milk? Yes, ma'am. You want cornbread or a roll? Any cornbread? I'm just talking about the public school when I was a kid. I know that I'm a little bit crazy. And that's okay. My mama beat me in the head with pipes. But if I was sitting talking to a grown up at church, and I'm saying it's because it happened, if I was sitting out there on the porch talking to a grown up at church, and my children came up and started running their mouth, that was an automatic bushwhacking. Automatic. You don't come up and start talking when grown ups is talking. Them are the ancient. Shut your mouth. Shut up. Yeah. You don't talk when grown ups are talking. My grandma was right. I can't put my finger on the Bible. Children ought to be seen, not heard. But I can't put my finger on study to be quiet. That's a good one. It's what Brother Samuel used to tell me all the time when I was a kid. Study to be quiet. Just study to be quiet, because I like to talk. You can stand my kids up behind my back and say, could y'all cut in on your daddy's conversation when he was talking to a grown-up back in your day? Every one of them would tell you, but daddy beat the devil out of me for that, because I did it. Didn't have to do it too many times. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about respecting elders. I'm talking about this thing that's almost a thing of the past. There's no respect anymore. Nobody honors any. There's not any honor left anymore. Nobody respects anybody anymore. Why? Because, Michael, we're going to go back to this prudence because there's no consequences. Folks, I'm not being mean, but I promise you, if you would go down any given day to juvenile hall, you can see with your own eye what I'm talking about. Youngins, teenagers, children that have no respect for authority, no fear for authority, no consequence. They fear no consequences for their actions, and they're packing them full in the juvenile halls. Listen to me, to the point nowadays where the juvenile halls are so full, they're sticking children in the adult jails. Right. You can't buy liquor, but you can go to jail with the adults. Try it. You may not can go off to war, but you can go to jail with the adults. You say, what is that? Because there's no honor, no respect. Mamas and daddies ain't done enough bushwhacking. Amen. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being mean. I like to see them kids come back in church with a little bit of can't help us. Man, it's church. Be still. It's church. Pay attention. That's some respect. That's teaching them something. Maybe one of these days when the old man says, hey, you better behave. Your child will go, yes, sir. That fear kick in. That prudence will kick in. That respect for authority will kick in. When the Holy Ghost says, that's you, your kid won't kick so hard against the pricks. When the Holy Ghost stabs that heart and the Word of God is being slammed down their throat, that child has to stand there face to face with their guilt before a holy God. Instead of bucking that authority, instead of showing dishonor, they're going, yes, Lord, that's me. That's why I'm so adamant about this stuff. You can go down to the average high school, ladies and gentlemen. It's not school. They're detention centers. Schools are not schools anymore. They're detention centers. Oh, now, preacher, I dare you to go down to Salisbury High School any day of the week. I'm down there. I coach baseball down there. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about teenage boys standing in the face of 40 and 50, 60-year-old teachers and calling them every filthy cussing name under the sun and threatening their life. I've been some of the nastiest 4-7-letter words that you can think of. They're dropping them on it. Get out of my face, you blankety blank. I'll stomp your good. That's high school. What is that? It's no honor.
That's not the blessings of God. God said, when I remove this stuff, that's what you're going to be left with.
The head coach, that guy that I helped down there, Michael, told me that a boy, he said the whole school's pretty much scared of him because he's in and out of jail his whole life. Said he comes to school in the morning and gets a free breakfast. Roams the hall, steals computers, steals telephones, sells the dope, and he leaves, comes back, gets his free lunch. Roams the halls again, steals what he can, sells the dope that he can, and he's back out again. He said, I walked up to him and said, hey man, what you up to? And that boy cussed him for everything and threatened his own life. That guy's a pretty tough old boy that I coach with. He's a manly kind of man. He said, David, everything flashed in front of me. He said, I saw myself going to jail. I could see myself going to prison. I could see myself putting my hands around his neck, choking him, and he turned white. Yeah. He said, I turned and walked away. Just walked away. He said, they're not worth me going to prison for. Dishonorable. No respect. Man, we got to teach it. In order to teach it, we got to have it. Huh? Kind of hard, or it's blasphemous. Honorable men. My prayer is for this congregation to be men of honor, men of integrity, men of character, mighty men, men of prudence, wisdom, men of understanding. You know what I like to be to Gracie? I'd sure like to be the man that she's going to miss. Huh? Boy, my grandpa, he was this, and my grandpa was that. And, hey, church, listen. My daddy was what he was. Y'all heard me tell it 1,000 times. But boy, I sure do miss him. I miss him. I miss him. Mama, I can't hardly ride by Sides Mill Road over there without just going, oh boy. I'd like to go over and sit in that living room and let him tell me some old tales. I'd love to gather my children and go, come on, boys, let's go see Daddy and sit down over in his living room and let him carry on some of that old junk. Boy, I tell you, I want to be something that my children and my grandchildren is going to look up to and they're going to miss. Can I just read them and just go home? The captain of 50, an honorable man, counselor, the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator. We got one of them and he went plumb crazy. When's the last time you heard of Charles Spurgeon? Huh? When's the last time you heard one of those guys speak? We had one. He joined up with a Southern Baptist and they about ruined him because he put more into his delivery than he did his walk with God. I'm not going to call his name. I love to hear the man preach. I love to hear him speak. One of the greatest speakers we've ever heard. And every one of you know him. I heard a lot of women talk about him, Miss Holly. I never heard him talk about the God of this man. I heard him talk about him. I have a problem with that. When it's about me, man, I'm an orator. And boy, he was. Out of that pulpit, he really was. But that's what it became about. Instead of the God. I lied. Fifty, the honorable man, the cunning artificer, eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. We see all this. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. That's what I was talking about a while ago. And the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. What's the verse saying? For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen. Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Verse 10, verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. Is that not us? We're so proud of it. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul. For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Listen, church, that's what I'm talking about. Eric, every man in this county can leave his wife after he shoots her and cheats on her. Every man in America can do his children wrong. But the men that's in this congregation can come in here and live righteous and holy and godly and be honorable. That's what God said. Listen, even in the midst of every bit of this, there's still some righteous men. And I want you to tell them something, Isaiah. Tell them everything's going to be all right. Tell them, although they're having to live in the world, well, this judgment is falling, but I want you to tell them, Isaiah, I'm going to take care of them. It's good, ain't it? That's good. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Now watch. My last verse. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? God is no fool, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you, if you do right by God, he'll do right by you. Amen. I mean, Miss Stephanie, we could be losing every bit of this stuff that God said we was going to lose. But right in the midst of it all, God will be blessing those that are living righteous. That's right. And I tell you what, every house in this county may know nothing about an honorable man. But that house in Shelby, North Carolina, can have an honorable man sitting at the stern. That man sitting over there on the south side of Buena Vista. Eric Perkins lives over on the other side of just Buena Vista, y'all. You know, the rich people call it Buena Vista. That makes me about half sick, so I call it Buena Vista. But Dr. Perkins lives in Buena Vista. Eric, I've done a lot of work in that neighborhood. Listen to me, church. I've done a lot of work. Those houses over there are a haven for remodelers. It's all they are, problems. I love it. I did work over there for one man for a couple of years, and he knows that community as good as anybody knows that community. And I mean, he knows that community. He knows the ins and the outs. This is what he told me about Eric's community. And I'm talking about Buena Vista. A lot of money, a lot of people, a lot of clout, a lot of pride. He said, David, 90% of the people that live in this community swap spouses. I got the herky-jerkies on. Because it kind of just way out of left field. I mean, what? What did you just say? He said, you heard me right. He said, all these men over here and their wives swap rape. Now, me and my wife is close enough to a few of them to know how they put themselves on one another. We know that. We know that they have parties. We know they get naked in the hot tubs. We know a few of them. But when he told me that, Eric, they can be a man of honor in that wicked community. Amen. I don't care how wicked that community is. God can have a righteous, a prudent, and a holy man living right over on the side of it. Do you hear me?
I'm telling you, you can say what you want to, but out of all of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a lot.
You hear me? God spared his judgment on that country. On that country until that man of righteousness got out. I'm just telling you, church, God is still wanting and willing to make something out of our lives. Amen. No matter how bad it gets. And I tell you, you can be that person to these young married couple. You can be that person to these little boys and girls. You can be that honorable, prudent, wise. You can be that that ancient. You can be that. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to need it. And by the grace of God, they'll live long enough to thank you for it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't take $1 million for Dick Starling showing up in my living room. You could have sent the greatest preachers in the world, but it wouldn't have meant any more to me, Miss Stephanie, that night than Dick and Betty Starling showing up at my house. Didn't nobody know Dick and Betty. Boy, God sure did. God sent them over our way. An honorable man. Honorable. Man, can't nobody say nothing dishonorable about him or her. Amen. They're good people. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. And Lord, I don't know if I got my point across. My point is that God wants to raise these men up to be men of God. You want to raise the men of this congregation up to be prudent men. You want to raise them up to be ancient men. You want to raise them up, dear God, to be men of honor. Men of character, men of integrity, men of godly morals and values. I pray, blessed Father, that you'd help the men of this congregation submit themselves to the Lord. Otherwise, let's don't expect our wives to submit herself to us. I pray, dear God, you'd do for us, Lord, what's needed to be done in this country. Do for this congregation. Help the men. God, I pray that you'd help us to set our houses in order. And help us to be the husbands, the daddies, the leaders, the counselors, God, that we're supposed to be in our area of life. I pray, God, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.